The new American dream, tired, anxious, depressed. Bringing the nightmare to the American dream is the new American dream. We'll talk about it in podcast 1031, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In a new study of 2,000 respondents, 59% said that the COVID pandemic has sapped their energy. 58% say that they're feeling disjointed and unfocused. Power naps and so forth, catching a few winks do not help. No amount of rest restores focus. So between long work hours, staying inside too much screen time, Zoom and other types of video conferences, people are getting exhausted. So Monster Energy Drinks did the survey, so you have to consider that. And of course, they're pushing taurine and the positive effects of taurine, which is a whole separate debate. And I will give you something that might be better later in the podcast, but we're going to talk about the new American dream, exhausted and frustrated and angry and tired, anxious, in podcast 1031. We're in the midst of quite a windstorm. I'll talk about it a little bit here in southwestern Arizona. And tonight I had to check some banking stuff and also an email address that I have that's restricted. So I don't use my hotspot to access those options for many reasons, because hotspots aren't secure and so forth and so on. So what did I do? I hooked up my PepWave, fired that thing up, the PepWave from privacypost.io, got a great signal, did my banking, checked my mail, and did all that stuff. It's great for sending up data because it is behind a VPN, which is completely secure, and because it accesses the cellular tower in a different way, which essentially fools the phone company into thinking that you're a cable modem. So if you want to know more, you go to privacypost.io and give them a call and they'll explain it to you. They also do virtual mail service. They have South Dakota residency options and legal business address registration there, which is a huge tax boon if you are from Rhode Island or Illinois. It really helps if you're a nomad. You get yourself your South Dakota plates and your business address in South Dakota. They also do privacy trustee management for obvious tax reasons. So visit privacypost.io, and they have a number there. You can call them and find out more information. And thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, one of the things fueling Mobile Podcast Command as I travel is, of course, donations from listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. If you want to do that, go to thebobdavispodcast.com, look down the right-hand side of the page, you're going to see a picture of Mobile Podcast Command. As you scroll down, there's going to be a yellow oval that says donate. Click on that, takes you to PayPal, and I will be very happy to accept whatever you want to send me. Craig Westover, my old buddy from the Pioneer Press in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Actually, the Pioneer Press is in St. Paul. And Craig was a writer for many years for the Pioneer Press, and he is doing the Nomad thing in a boat, which I think is really cool. And he sent me $25. Thanks, Craig, and I hope that sailing is a wonderful experience for you. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following the Bob Davis Podcast on LinkedIn and Facebook. I've given up on Twitter, as I'd like to joke that Jack Dorsey has done the same. You can listen to the Bob Davis Podcast right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can get it at Amazon, Alexa, and also audible.com, which is part of the Amazon thing. Also, Google Podcasts, Spotify is probably the best choice. There's other ones that I have used and am still on, like Stitcher and TuneIn, but I recommend Spotify or listening off the page of the Bob Davis Podcast. You can also do subscriptions to the RSS feed off thebobdavispodcast.com, and you'll get the podcast when I send one out. And again, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. That's the main thing. I want people to listen, think, and share, and I really appreciate it when you do. So appropriate for anything called or entitled The Nightmare, bringing the nightmare to the American dream, let's say. We are having a terrific windstorm here in southwestern Arizona where I am hanging. I should say I'm bivouacked, based, whatever you want to call it. we're supposed to get rain. There won't be any thunder, but we're going to get very high winds in the next couple of hours. So I'm just hanging out in Mobile Podcast Command because, frankly, there's nothing else to do. But yeah, according to surveys, people are exhausted. There's a whole list of causes for this exhaustion. Add your own, right? But out here in the land of the nomad, the vibration is high. I have had a great weekend in Quartzsite, just being a nomad, doing the nomad thing, helping people, being helped, meeting people, enjoying the sun, and, you know, just breathing in big chunks of desert air, even at the laundromat or the grocery store. To me and to the people I was with this weekend, it felt like a very high vibration. And I'll just tell you, if you haven't been listening to the podcast, here's what I did to achieve this feeling. I did what was in my heart. I threw caution to the wind, because most of the caution that we experience in life is social pressure. And so I would ask that while I'm doing this podcast, maybe you'll think in the back, on that second track in the back of your mind, what is success to you? What is wealth to you? What is happiness to you? And I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer there. I think it's just you have to define it any way that you want. You might define it as being the chair of, Google, or a Google, or building a Google, or something to that effect. So I don't want people to think this is some kind of judgment about capitalism. You might think that your version of wealth and happiness is riding a motorcycle across the world. In my opinion, being happy means doing what you consider to be happiness, doing what is in your heart with as little friction as possible. And I have been talking about this a little bit in podcasts here and there. Let me grab a sip of coffee. But it really hit home this weekend. And I think that there's a lot involved there. I think when you're doing what you love, what is in your heart, regardless of what it is, and especially with as little friction as possible, and I'll define what I mean by friction in a second, and you combine that with eating properly and exercise and not drinking, not doing things that are depressive, I think if you do that, you'll start to feel better. I hate to say you. So I've been talking about doing what I'm doing, which is what I wanted to do, right? Traveling and being a nomad and doing my podcasts and doing a little writing and trying to figure out how to make money as a creative business while I'm on the road, blah, 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 blah. That makes me very happy. But doing it with as little friction for me meant eliminating those things which I felt were too difficult or were not serving me well and I'm trying to be very careful with this because I don't want it to say that you just get rid of everything that bothers you. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the things that feel that they're not plugged into what your vision for happiness is. So if you're going to travel around the country on a motorcycle, you're going to have to make some adjustments in your life, right, in order to do that. And if you keep trying to hang on to the things that don't have anything to do with your trip around the world on a motorcycle, well, it's going to be a struggle most of the way because you're going to be tied to all these tethers. I've been really working hard to eliminate the tethers. That is not eliminating the important people in my life. That is not eliminating the people that I love. It is not refusing to be responsible. It is eliminating the things that create friction toward reaching that goal. And so that is what we are talking about a little bit in this podcast. But I've also combined it and began practicing eating a little bit better, exercise, and things of that nature. So that now that I'm doing the stuff that I really want to do, and it took a year to really, first of all, eliminate the tethers back to those things which really weren't serving this trip and this effort for me. And I'm very careful to say, you know, I'm trying to turn this to me rather than saying you, and you'll see why as we get deeper into this podcast. In terms of defining, you know, a personal definition of what you or I feel success is, it takes a long time to figure that stuff out. Even once you step off and begin your journey of finding yourself, right? Finding the things that you really want to do, finding the things that really turn you on. And again, I did those things, and I've spent a year really struggling to a certain degree with these tethers and these things that I thought I could take with me, and the things that, you know, again, you take things with you when you decide to become a nomad that you don't need, and the things that you do need, you don't take with you. So there's this whole process of sort of just sorting through everything. It takes a long time. And I would say in the last couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, especially with a few recent decisions, I really feel great, like really great. And I've been experiencing this very high vibration because this is the first time that I've actually stopped down and spent some time getting to know people I don't know, and, you know, letting people help me and helping other people. This is a big thing for me because I wouldn't say that I'm antisocial. I just have been very standoffish. And I think it's, you know, obviously it's because I had just started out and I kind of wanted to experience things for myself. So this is the weekend, this last weekend and last week or so, that I have felt this very high vibration. And I read the news and I see what's going on in the news, and it is a complete, it's foreign to me, this deep sense of anxiety that people are experiencing, which is, you know, not fake. And I don't know if you, the listener, are experiencing anxiety. If you are, you know, we're going to talk about it. I'm not passing editorial judgment on people that are experiencing anxiety or whatever their situation is. But we are not feeling it out here. We don't feel it. We have other things that we think about. But I think in general, especially in a place like Quartzsite, which is deserted in July, everybody's up because people are coming for the season and everybody's selling and everybody's having a great time. So the vibration in town, at least as I've experienced it, the vibration in the campgrounds, the vibration with the other nomads, is very high. And I have experienced a very high vibration, in other words, very positive, all along, whether I was here or anywhere else. And now it's really coming in strong, and it's a great experience, great feeling. And I don't care if you wanted to be the CEO of a Google and that begins to materialize, that's your definition of happiness, just think how you're going to feel. Same thing here. You know, I certainly didn't imagine myself being the CEO of Google. Maybe I should have. I'd be worth a lot more. But you know what I'm saying. So in the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the bedrocks of what I've learned and how things have changed for me in the second half of this podcast, Podcast 1031. Let me grab a sip of water. So I'm going to talk about exercise a little bit. I have discussed it a little bit earlier in the podcast. And I want to talk about something I did this week, which I think is really cool. And it involves BU Enterprises, one of the sponsors of the Bob Davis podcast. So you know you have to get up and move, whether you're working at home or you're on the road or whatever it is that you're doing. And of course, I've been talking about BU on the podcast because they have a powerful toolbox to help people be their best self. And what that means is movement. And you can do it right where you are through a Zoom conference or FaceTime. You can be grounded, you can be centered, you can be calm, you can be stronger, and you can be free, and you can be you very quickly. Juliet, who is the woman behind BU, did a Zoom conference with me this week and sort of showed me what it is that she's doing. And I think it's great because you do not have to be Mr. and Mrs. Exercise. You are, and we did some stuff, just me in the back of Mobile Podcast Command, just stretching and moving and doing stuff that really made a difference. And it was, I can see what she's doing. She can see what I'm doing. And it was really cool. So get the toolbox for yourself. You can also get it for your whole team. So you can do a whole Zoom conference with everybody, and everybody can be doing the exercise. It's really fun. If you want, visit BU Enterprises for more information or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Shout out to Juliet. And I have to say shout out to my friends at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station. I love independently owned and operated community-focused refueling stations because they usually have cheaper fuel. They pass it on to the customers, and that means they're always busy, and there's all kinds of stuff always going on at 36 Lynn. The store has tons of really great stuff in it, and they're a community sort of center, and that's great too. Remember 36 and Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis, you need a cup of coffee or gas or whatever. They have a great Instagram feed, which I love. So check out 36 Lynn for their events and other stuff that they're doing at 36lynn.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. A lot of this is about increasing our vibration. And I'm going to make some judgments, and I'm going to say some things that some people won't agree with, but I'm pretty sure that this is pretty much true. And I'll tell you a story at the beginning, and then we'll go on. So the story at the beginning is, I had friends here this weekend from the Twin Cities, and they left yesterday, drove back up into, as we call it, the world, from these empty fields just northeast of Quartzsite, where these huge campgrounds, and it's just rock fields. There's no facilities. You are on your own. We are boondocking. And we spent the weekend talking to people and people helping us and helping other people and getting to know. We had a big, I went obsessed, full-on obsessive with a bunch of other guys in the campground about this whole battery, solar power, generator situation with trailers. And it was both fun and funny at the same time. And I learned a ton. And finally they were like, enough with the batteries, enough. But it was super exciting. And then we went into town, experienced this great vibration. So the people I was hanging out with called me and said, I can't believe how intense, just getting on the plane, this crazy feeling of intensity and fear and frustration with the masks and all this other stuff getting back on the plane. So let's talk about what we would call back in the world, because we're in a different world out here in the desert or wherever the nomads are. And I will tell you that, in my opinion, back in the world, the food has never been worse. And what I mean is not in terms of unavailability. I'm talking about what people eat. Apparently, because I quit eating that way a long time ago, they are not eating protein. They're not eating fresh vegetables. They are eating a lot of carbohydrates. They're eating a lot of processed foods. They're doing a lot of microwave dinners. They're doing a lot of takeout dinners. They're doing a lot of Carl's Jr. and McDonald's and, Whataburgers and whatever else is going on. And so I think that's a huge factor in people's happiness. The distractions back in the world have never been higher. And I compare this to my world today. Now, there are people out here with very expensive trailers that have 3 TVs. But most of us don't have televisions. So we watch YouTube until we blow up our data plan, and then we have to read books. So we don't really sit here and watch TV. Plus, if you have all your stuff on in your trailer or whatever your rig is, you got to run your generators, because no matter how much you charge the batteries, and run your heat or air conditioning, you have to have your generator on. And when the generator goes off, the batteries are not going to power that stuff. So there's no laying in bed watching television all night, because unless you want to run your... Now, we can run the generator out here all night, and nobody would say anything, and you there's no rules about running. There's no quiet hours. So a lot of national parks and state parks and even national forests, there are what they call quiet hours. So you can run your generator during the day to charge your batteries. You can run your generators until like 10 o'clock at night to charge your batteries. After that, you got to turn them off. So you can imagine, if you're going to run 3 TVs, you better have a powerful generator and a boatload of batteries in your battery bank in order to run that stuff all night. And even that's not going to work. So I'm just saying that as a nomad, the distractions are different, if any. So when you have to do something, you get up and do it, because you may not be able to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you have to take your trash to the place, you have to take your trash to the place because it's going to close at 3:30. And so we were noticing this when we were making dinner. We're just up doing this, then doing that, then fixing that, then closing this, then getting that, then getting this, and then getting that, then moving this, then climbing in and climbing out and grabbing this and grabbing that. So you're constantly addressing something right away because you can't wait. And I've never been like that. I used to say, oh, I'll take the trash out tomorrow. And then 3 days later, I'd take the trash. You can't do that. So that's one of the things that's different. So distractions are, we have different kinds of distractions, but in general, my experiences have been, and I am a distraction, I'm the king of distractions, the shiny thing in the forest. I'm much more focused out here than I was back in the world. According to this survey that I talked about at the beginning of the podcast, apparently people feel that their work demands are ridiculous. So people are working remote, they're getting emails at 3 o'clock in the morning from bosses, they're getting calls, they're getting slacked, they're getting signaled, people are sending them documents, they're asking for action to be taken well before and well after work hours because you have to consider time zones, and it's very frustrating and difficult. Or people's freak out potential is higher than ever before. It's crazy. People be bugging. And why not? Because we brought the nightmare to the dream. Because we had a dream in America. Everybody would get a beautiful house in the suburbs with a picket fence. There might be one or two cars in the driveway, two cute little kids in the front, mom and dad, mom's in the kitchen in the crinoline dress, cooking up the roast beef, and dad sitting in the study with the pipe, and everything is just beautiful. And we had that American dream for a while in a lot of places, and you hear a lot of older people talking about, well, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have all this crazy stuff going on. And there was a certain group of people who experienced this incredible American dream. Now, there were other groups of people in this country that didn't experience the American dream quite that way. But let's just say the 1950s, early 60s, classic suburban American dream has devolved into a nightmare. Because we brought the nightmare to the dream. Arguing, bitching, and fighting about everything. Basically, just take a look at Facebook, which is the worst of all social media. And I think social media is a huge part of it, whether you're getting, anorexia because you think you should be thin, or you're angry because somebody posted something in your group that you didn't like. We are in this just constant cycle of anger and frustration and so forth. My favorite are these quote-unquote videos on Facebook, which I think I have now come to the conclusion that a lot of, like the ones on the plane, I've concluded where people get all, now, I'm not talking about the ones we know of, that where the flight attendant went crazy and other things happen. Now they're starting to stage these things on planes where people are arguing about bags or whatever, and they're clearly staged because we take this kind of fussing and fighting wherever it is, and sometimes out and out fists and shootings and all this other stuff on Facebook as entertainment. These are the videos that people are watching. Yeah, they're watching the dog videos and the cute cat videos and everything, but I think there's a lot, and I can tell you because it's showing up in my feed. Maybe I'm nuts and this is why it's showing up in my feed, but just very depressing, horrible examples of the most negative human behaviors that you can possibly think about. Let me drink some more coffee because I'm not jacked up enough. On top of that, we are eating sugar, starch, bad carbs, not the good carbs, the bad carbs. And I think probably the scariest thing is that the amount of drinking that's going on is pretty serious. Now, I'm not going to be a person that says you shouldn't drink. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't smoke pot. You shouldn't this, right? I'm not, if you want to do that, I'm all about it, right? But drinking alcohol is probably the worst thing, especially if you're anxious and you can't sleep at night. That's the worst thing you can do is drink 3 glasses of red wine. And then you add to that antidepressants, various prescription medicine, including painkillers, and negative behaviors that make us feel better for a while. And then we wonder why we can't sleep, right? So there's all kinds of negative behaviors that people are engaged in. And again, without judgment, this is the reality, I think, of many people's lives. Now, I don't mean to say I'm better than these people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't experience that stuff doing what I'm doing as a nomad. It is just one day after another, generally speaking, of pure bliss. Because I can always say, if someone, hey, I tried to send you an email, I tried to contact you, yeah, oh yeah, I was out, I was, you know, I didn't have a signal. And so, I would just say, that was a weird kind of snort. So what that kind of life meant for me, and I would say that I have lived that kind of stress. I bought a house I couldn't afford, you know, I don't like debt anyway. This is years ago, and I lived that whole life of being anxious about work and being anxious about what people are saying at work about me and what I'm saying about people at work and the whole thing. And that actually carried over into the networking thing, where it just became too close, right? We were talking about this weekend. We were talking about this woman we met who just started out. She's got an Airstream. Jane, shout out to you. And we were talking about stuff, and we were talking about, well, you know, I don't know about if this person's going to like me if I go over there. And I go, it doesn't matter, because if you don't like somebody, or if you're next to somebody you don't like or whatever, you just hitch up your trailer and you go a mile down the road. And it's like literally another world. It's a whole other group of people. And that's one of the things that's great. So getting here for me, and remember what I said about defining happiness. I defined happiness as being able to do what I want, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And that ended up, that was a definition of happiness that preceded even being in business for myself, because I was, you know, working still in radio. So then when I got fired, gee, what a surprise, you know, manifesting that. And then coming out and starting a business, and eventually just getting rid of everything and driving away from my piece of junk rented duplex. For me, freedom and happiness and my definition of success and wealth meant throwing the baby out with the bathwater, which, socially speaking, this is the whole thing that I spent half a year talking about in podcasts. Are you okay? You know, is there anything wrong? Are you? And you would say to people, yeah, I'm great. This is amazing. Now, your version of whatever wealth and happiness is might be a lot less extreme. I certainly hope so. But for many people out here, in my experience, the people that I've talked to, they have a similar, oddly enough, a very similar sort of matriculation to this lifestyle. Hope that's the right word, where you kind of graduate to this being out on the road all the time. And some people are broke and some people aren't, and some people have a lot of money and some people don't, but it's all good. So your version of happiness might be less extreme than that, and I hope it is. Now, for me, in terms of getting myself right, it started with protein, 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 and then yoga, 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 yoga. And it could be any other kind of exercise for anybody else. Exercise, exercise, exercise. Reading, not watching, which is very hard to do today, and then silence, which is very hard to do today as well, to achieve silence. So I'm sitting right now in a campground. Across the road is a guy with a big fifth wheel, and he has got his speakers blaring. And so we're enjoying country music extraordinaire right now, and I don't know how long it's going to go on, but silence is golden, because silence allows us to sort of spread our thoughts out. And other things I was thinking about today, like sitting in front of a fire every night, or driving. To me, driving is meditative. Sitting in front of a fire is certainly meditative, where thoughts come and go and you're just sitting in front of a fire. And even if there's nobody there, it's still meditative. And if you're having conversations, that is a social experiment to a certain degree of being able to talk with people and not get into arguments and just have some fun and some light conversation is something that we've forgotten how to do, because everybody wants to tell everybody else what to do and what to think politically and so on and so on. So I talked to a health practitioner about what actually happens to us when we wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning. So if you're waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning, or you're exhausted all the time, this is what health practitioners say that is happening to you. And I have notes here, so I'm gonna just read some of these notes. At 1 a.m., your liver basically starts detoxing or working. This is just a circadian rhythm. If your liver is detoxing, it's going to wake you up. And then what happens is the low point for your liver is 12 hours later at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So your adrenal glands are what help you regulate energy. So when the adrenals are supposed to kick in to give you energy is at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when your liver is at the low point. If they're burned out through stress or all these other things, they can't kick in. So then you do, what do? High stress, excess activity, stimulants, alcohol, caffeine, energy drinks, and so forth. You hit this low point, so what do? You make coffee, or you go get coffee, or you eat sugar. So those are the things that just create a sort of an endless circle, or whatever you call it, a descending circle of difficulties with your liver waking you up, and then you're tired in the afternoon, and it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, you're going to be tired. So you have to reset all that by basically cleansing yourself. The other thing is, we don't have boundaries anymore. We don't keep people on schedule. So if you're home with the kids, they're not on a schedule, they're flying around doing all this stuff, you're flying around doing all this stuff for whatever reason, and then proper nutrition and exercise. So one of the things you can do is you can take ginseng and astragalus. Those two things work pretty good to sort of help all that and give you energy, especially the ginseng. So some of the things that ginseng helps with is your energy, enhancing your blood sugar intake, and it also increases resistance to environmental stresses. So does exercise and the general sense of well-being, physical stamina, and stimulating your immune function and slowing the aging process. All that from ginseng. Astragalus is actually a legume. It's a stimulator of natural resistance to disease. It supports your spleen and your circulatory system. And then there's all sorts of other traditional Chinese medicine things that you could do to enhance natural strength and vitality. Astragalus is one of them. It's a tonic. B12 is good for red blood cells and nerves, and B12 is in meat. You know, if you get grass-fed meat and so forth. Now, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just telling you what the health practitioners have told me about what's going on with people. You have to just sort of reset everything by cleansing. And I did all this over a long period of time. It didn't happen all at once. The first thing I did was I stopped eating carbs. And then over time, I started doing exercise. And then over time, I kind of slowly got everything back to normal. And I'm going to close this by just saying that, you know, I used to nap sometimes 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon if I could get it. And part of that was the holdover for when I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to be on the air at 6 a.m., which I will never do again. But the other part of it was I wasn't eating right, and I wasn't disciplined, and I wasn't getting enough exercise. And so I would sleep during the day and stay up all night, and then it got all screwed up. So it took a long time, but I will tell you, once I started doing the Nomad thing, I did continue to nap in the afternoon. I'd pull over and nap because I was exhausted all the time. And as time went on, the vibration has increased. You know, I've really been careful about eating. I just don't eat as much as I did, and I eat a lot of protein even still. And now I don't nap anymore. And we were talking about this weekend. I don't feel the need to nap. The minute I lay down, I get up and do something else. So that when 9:30, 10 o'clock rolls around and it's dark out here, I'm ready to go to sleep. And I may lay in bed and watch YouTube or something until 11:30 or so, but then I fall asleep and I don't get up until 8:30 or 9 o'clock, sometimes 7, whatever the time is. And I don't wake up in the middle of the night or if I do, I get up, go to the bathroom, and go back to sleep. So I think all of this sort of ending the nightmare that has been brought to the American dream is considering and conceiving a new American dream, where everybody's version of what makes them happy and what makes them wealthy, what makes them feel better, what is best for them and their family, and I've seen a lot of people with families out here, can do to actually have a better life, where you actually have to take the steps. I should say, because I've done it, to take the steps to actually have the life that you want, regardless of what it is. Doesn't mean it's easy. But when you're doing what's in your heart, you don't know hard, because it's all part of the equation. That's what makes you happy. So, you know, I'm not suggesting everybody take to the road. I can tell you from experience, it is a higher vibration. It's a better experience for me. It makes me happy. And most of the people I've talked to are really happy doing this, or they just wouldn't do it. But that doesn't mean that everybody should be a nomad, because it might not be your version of success. But if your game, then maybe it's time to make an offer on Grandpa's 96 Tioga Class C. And if you do, I'll save a place for you here in Quartzsite. Well, let's talk about maybe starting your own business and buying assets and finding your happiness, which may be some kind of invention. So if this is you and you've invented something, you're probably going to be looking for a manufacturer. What you want is a company that has an inventor's heart, that understands your issues, and that is DepoStar. Mark Korn, the guy that started DepoStar, started it because he had an invention he wanted to manufacture. If you are considering American manufacturing, remember DepoStar. American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar, DepoStar.com. When you see these videos on Facebook of people freaking out and throwing drinks into people's faces, and, you know, the Karens and the whatever the male version of Karen is, and all of the fussing and fighting, and then you read about all these studies that show that people are not optimistic about the future, or they're depressed, or there are all these things going on, and you look at how people eat and everything else. And I've had those struggles, so I'm not making judgments. And I want everybody to understand that. I'm just saying, the thing that I want to share is that the pure joy, and I mean it, it was pure joy that I felt just hanging out in town and seeing people, getting to know people, and experiencing a life that I chose that is free of the, at least for the time being, free of the really negative things that we accept as part of a social contract back in the world that we don't have to. That there is another way, another plan, another future that we can have. We just have to define what we think is happiness and what we think of as freedom and what we think of as the future that we want, and then tack to that. That's what I think anyway. And that's what I'm doing as this van is about ready to tip over in this windstorm. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1031, The New American Dream. Or as I like to say, we brought the nightmare to the American dream. So if you want to know why people are quitting their jobs or refusing to go back to work, well, now you know. It's this deep feeling of anxiety or frustration or pessimism about the future, and maybe a lot of these people are choosing a different path. I'm going to sit back, make some more coffee, and enjoy the storm.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try. I've been working in this factory for now 15 years. All this time I watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. And I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here.